with another background briefing. Bye for now.
Hello, this is Pamela Badilla, your neighbor from Data Data International Folkloric Theater, and you're listening to your radio station, WGXC, Acre, New York, hands-on community radio for Columbia and Greene County. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, this is Tony at Large. Tune into the Eclectomaniac radio show for a fun, sexy mix of new hits, throwbacks, and remixes. Third Wednesday of the month from 7 to 9:30 p.m. only on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre. Love is the answer. Tune in.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Oh, this is always a good time. You know, this always is the time to stop and remind you that if you're listening and you like us and you support the station in general, why don't you become a sustaining listener supporter? It's not hard. You go to the website, wgxc.org or .org, and there's a...
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service daily newscast for Tuesday, October the 23rd, 2018.
I'm Mike Clifford. Trump buries a hatchet with former rival Ted Cruz. Also on the Tuesday rundown, New Mexico's voters face a tough choice over diversifying the state's economy. Plus, Florida environmental concerns prompt a new institute to inform the public. Topping our news, a top aide to Crown Prince MBS orchestrated the brutal killings of Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi via a Skype call that, according to sources cited Monday by Reuters, the Daily Beast quotes a high-ranking Arab source as saying after Khashoggi was detained in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, his captors called Saud al-Qahtani via Skype. Eventually, according to a Turkish intelligence source, Qahtani told Khashoggi's captors to bring me the head of the dog. Meantime, President Trump said Monday he has buried the hatchet with his 2016 presidential rival, Ted Cruz of Texas, ahead of a campaign rally for the Republican lawmaker in Houston. The Hill quotes Trump as saying, "He's not Lion Ted anymore, he's Beautiful Ted." The Hill added, Trump said, "I like Ted," and asserted the Texas senator has locked down his tough re-election race against Democratic Representative Beto O'Rourke. A rebound in New Mexico's volatile oil and gas industry under the Trump administration is a major driver in next month's governor's race.
Democratic candidate Michelle Lujan Grisham has promised to deliver a renewable energy economy and 50% renewable production in the state by 2030. Republican candidate Steve Pierce also has promised diversification of the economy beyond oil and gas revenues, but Pierce, a former oil industry business owner, voted against investing in renewable energy while in Congress. Denise Foster with Conservation Voters New Mexico says finding new sources to fuel the state's needs is critical.
In this boom and bust cycle, we don't know how much revenue is going to come in every year, and that's why it's so important that we diversify our economy and so that it will affect every single person in the state.
The New Mexico Secretary of State's office says since early voting opened on Saturday, turnout has surged with more than 72,000 people having already voted in the November 6th midterm election. I'm Roz Brown.
There are more than 1.2 million registered voters in the state. Democrats make up about 45%, followed by Republicans at 30%, and Independents 27%. Social Security, Medicare, and health care are the most important issues for deciding how older Pennsylvanians will vote in this year's election. Andrea Sears clues us in on a new poll.
The poll conducted by AARP and Politico found protecting the future of Social Security, Medicare, and health care will be top priorities for more than 90% of voters age 50 and older as they go to the polls in 2 weeks. According to Bill Johnston Walsh, state director of AARP, older voters will be big factors in determining the outcome of many races.
50 plus is a large voting block, and they do vote year after year. And they're hearing what the rhetoric is down in Washington. They're watching people talk about cuts to Social Security and Medicare.
Similar majorities say they want elected officials to take action to lower health care and prescription drug costs.
Other states polled have included Arizona, Florida, and Ohio. On September the 30th, Congress allowed the Land and Water Conservation Fund to expire. Eric Tegetthoff reports some conservationists say the move has amplified voter concerns about the future of public lands heading into the midterm elections.
Amanda Wheelock with the Continental Divide Trail Coalition says while the environment typically takes a back seat to issues such as the economy and health care, public lands are especially important in Colorado.
So I think you see a lot of voters, regardless of whether they call themselves conservationists, out here in the Rocky Mountain West in general, and specifically in Colorado, that do really value the quality of life that public lands adds.
Wheelock says uncertainty about the Conservation Fund's future has created major roadblocks across the nation, including an effort to move a 14-mile section of the Continental Divide Trail off a dangerous highway near Steamboat Springs. Bills to restore the fund have cleared committee in both the U.S. House and Senate, but have yet to get a floor vote.
And finally, Tramell Gomes reports environmental concerns continue to rise in the Sunshine State. The University of Florida has opened a new research institute that aims to better educate Floridians about these concerns.
Florida's environment has been a large topic of discussion for the state's residents and politicians this election cycle. Now the Thompson Institute for Earth Systems at the University of Florida says it wants to make sure people are in the know about the latest environmental risks and development in the state. Bruce McFadden, a professor and director of the institute, says the newly opened facility aims to protect the state by informing the public on issues such as storm recovery.
Does it really make sense for us to rebuild in areas where the sea level is rising or where there are, you know, potential for tropical storms? And hopefully we can better understand how to act responsibly in the future.
McFadden adds that he hopes his research also will find answers to issues such as tropical storm development, Florida's red tide outbreak, and an algal bloom that spread along both coasts, injuring Florida's wildlife and tourism industry.
A $10 million gift to the university by a Fort Myers couple, John and Beverly Thompson, provided the bulk of the funding for the new institute. It's expected to share the research for Florida's future generations, including elementary and high school students, to help improve the state's future. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 60% chance of showers on Tuesday, mainly between 2 and 3 p.m. Cloudy skies and high near 51, a low around 39. Wednesday, there's only a 20% chance of rain, mainly before 2 p.m., with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 45, and a low around 31 Wednesday night. Thursday should be mostly sunny, with a high near 39 and a low around 26. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
I'm riding in your car. You turn on the radio.
Stop and get out of your car if you can, starting Wednesday, October 10th, with the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. If you spend the morning on the road listening to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Live at 8 a.m., or if your afternoon involves spending time with hosts on 90.7 FM, consider making a pledge during the Pullover Pledge Drive. Your collection of community voices is different than public radio. We're not interested in reporting on the president's whereabouts every 5 minutes. Instead, WGXC provides the community a chance to have their say about local issues, like the Greene County Jail, water problems in Nassau and Hoosick Falls, the 19th congressional election, and more. You can hear more coverage of those issues on the air on 90.7 FM than anywhere else in the local media landscape. So consider making a sustainable pledge to WGXC, a recurring donation to keep WGXC available on your car radio at 90.7 FM.
Pledge drive. This one's a little bit different. We're calling this one the Pull Over Pledge Drive, and what exactly does that mean? Well, we know that the car is probably the primary transmitter or receiver of radio waves, and you might catch a bit of a show here or there on your commute or running errands. Maybe you have it on in the kitchen while you're making breakfast, while you're writing a letter, while you're registering to vote. But, you know, we want to encourage you to take some time to give to our pledge drive, our October pledge drive here. And we don't want you to do that on the road. So, why don't you pull over, find one of those tech stops, or you know, just find a nice parking spot there, and take out your phone and either navigate over to wgxc.org/donate, or give us a call here at 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. To make a pledge while you're still thinking about it. Now we're taking a little bit of a different approach, a little bit more of a modern take on this, as you loyal WGXC listeners are sure to have noticed. The pledge drives have been a bit of a drag the last couple times. So we're putting less of a focus on scoring big one-time donations, and we're looking more for people to sign up as sustaining donors. So that is essentially you go through the process, and your monthly donation in an increment which you dictate will come out of your bank balance, or I think it's through PayPal, credit card, bank account, PayPal, however you set that up. Your monthly donation will be taken automatically. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. And more importantly, we don't have to worry about it. If we can get enough monthly sustaining donors, we don't have to do these really anymore, or at least not to the extent that we have in the past. So, let's, you know, let's throw our support behind this beautiful community station here. Because I have lived many, many places, and I can say in full confidence that there is not another station like this out there. So again, visit wgxe.org/donate or call us here at 518-697-7400 and become a sustaining supporter.
Would you like to do a show on WGXE?
Would you like to do a show on WGXE?
Interesting, boring, really, 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 really boring.
It would be about wonderful things. It would be about
chocolate pigs.
She's obsessed with pigs.
Chocolate pigs?
Awesome.
All the way down.
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear.
I turned it down. Do it.
Did you hear that?
No.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
Next, we have these reports.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome to the studio, Mark.
Well, thank you, Corinne, for having us on.
Can you explain to the listeners what the New York State Comptroller does?
Well, they're sort of the bean counter in chief. And so they're responsible for collecting the state revenues and then dispersing it pursuant to whatever the state budget has been agreed to by the state legislature. They audit both state and local government agencies to make sure that they are both, you know, spending their money properly, having wise investments, cash reserves, doing their job. And then they also manage the state pension fund, which is probably what most people know them about, because there's 1.1 million beneficiaries and there's a little over $200 billion in the state pension plan at this point.
So what sparked your run for this position?
Climate change. For the last 5 years, I've focused on the fact that we seem to be the greatest risk to humanity is climate change. In fact, just last week or so, the International Panel on Climate Change came out and said we had 12 years left to, you know, save humanity and the planet. The New York Times Magazine recently said humanity is doomed. They devoted their entire edition to that proposition. So about 5 years ago, I really began to focus on climate change. And the group I was working with, 350.org, they try to figure out a way to localize the fight on climate change. And they came up with the idea of taking what we did with the apartheid movement and doing the same thing with fossil fuels, the apartheid movement with divestment from South Africa. In this case, it was trying to get various institutions to divest from fossil fuels. It is morally wrong to seek to profit from companies that are destroying life on the planet. Mainly, it was aimed more at faith organizations and universities, that we could get the college campuses involved. But because I'd done a lot of work with state government over the year, I said I would focus on the sort of the public pensions. And it happens to be that the New York City public pension is the third largest in the country, and the New York State is second, the largest being California. Make a long story short, we've managed to divest over $7 trillion, or institutions with $7 trillion of assets have agreed to divest about 1,000 of them, including Ireland and the city of Ithaca, Cooperstown. And earlier this year, we actually convinced New York City to agree to divest. They haven't done it yet, but they started the progress. But we've made no progress whatsoever with the state pension fund, which has about $11 billion in Exxon and Chevron and other companies. And people may not remember that the incumbent state controller, Tom DiNapoli, was actually appointed by the legislature when he was a member of the assembly, because the previous one, Alan Hevesy, was pushed out because of a small scandal and then went to prison because of a big scandal. And I always knew that the assembly would seek to protect Tom because he's their guy. But I thought if I could get 50 state legislators to sponsor legislation to divest, that might be enough to convince Tom, who's generally a nice guy and certainly is not a climate denier, to do it. And we did get 50 legislators to sponsor a bill that I helped write, but he has been unwilling to do that. Meanwhile, we've had a report came out just recently that if the state had divested from fossil fuels 10 years ago, we would have an extra $22 billion, or about $20,000 per person in the system. Unlike New York City, where you have 15 different people, mainly some politicians, but also labor representatives who are in charge of the pension, and we were going to win the vote at that level, and that convinced the city controller to jump in and switch his position. But at the state level, there's a sole trustee, so the controller gets to make all the decisions. He has to perform under the guidance of the state legislature, but once that framework is set, he gets to make all the investment decisions. He won't even meet with us, Kibben. So I said, if you're not going to meet with us, you know what? I'm going to run against you.
Yeah.
Because then that way, at least you'll be forced to talk more about it, and we'll get at least one debate probably or two where you'll have to talk to me about the issue.
So what's his response? Is he concerned that if he follows this path and divests from some of these companies, that the pension fund will lose money? And what's the counterargument to that?
Well, as I said, if they had divested 10 years ago, they would have had $22 billion. So by not divesting, they've lost $22 billion. And the reality is that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, investing in fossil fuels was a prudent financial decision. It had a very reliable dividend. You know, the fossil fuel companies were the, you know, the barons of the planet. But that's no longer the case. And for the last 4 or 5 years, the fossil fuel industry has been the most underperforming part of the stock market. And even as the price of oil has gone back up over the last 18 months, the performance of the fossil fuel companies has not improved. And when the world has literally said, your business is destroying life on this planet, and we have to stop using you, that's not something that augurs well for a good, you know, future for your company. Plus, more and more communities like New York City have begun to sue the fossil fuel companies for the damage that they've caused from climate change. Because these companies knew 30 years ago that burning fossil fuels was heating up the planet at an unsustainable rate. And yet, even though their own engineers were saying, hey, boss, you know, we kind of don't have a good business practice here, but we could change. We could, you know, diversify and go into renewable energy and maintain market share. They all decided not to, and instead continue to just exploit fossil fuels. So they should be held financially liable for that.
And that's a cost to the state.
that would be, of course, a stay, hopefully be, of course, you know, to the shareholders. And, you know, and he sort of argues that we shouldn't use social considerations to determine investment decisions. But we point out, well, you've actually divested, which I support, but you've divested from private prisons. And that was solely based on social policies because you were getting attacked by, you know, private prison opponents. And you did the right thing, but you should do the same thing. He argues, well, I can be more effective with shareholder advocacy. I can vote the $1 billion that we own in Exxon at the stockholders meeting. Well, we said, well, actually, there's been 50 years history of shareholder advocacy. Nothing's ever succeeded. And since I started the campaign or worked on the campaign 5 years ago, I've discovered both that all those resolutions are advisory, so they don't have to pay any attention to them, and that it's actually illegal to do a shareholder resolution that addresses the core part of the business. So you can say that we want, you know, more women on the board of directors. That's a good resolution. You cannot say that we want Exxon to keep 80% of its fossil fuels in the ground and never use them. That's not allowed. And at the same time that Tom says he wants to talk and he's being ignored by Exxon, you've had the state attorney general for 3 years investigating Exxon for lying to the world about the reality of climate change.
We're talking with Mark Dunley, Green Party candidate for New York State Comptroller. Mark is running against Republican candidate Jonathan Trickner and incumbent Democrat Tom DiNapoli. They'll compete for the position in the general election on November 6th. Mark, are you in this to win it?
Well, I'm in it to win it for the life of the planet and the life of my children and hopefully my grandchildren someday. I am not going to get elected controller unless, you know, we decide we're going to save the world as a collectively on election day. But we will win the campaign if, in fact, we convince Tom DiNapoli to divest. He's going to win the election by 30 percentage points, most likely.
What kind of reaction are you getting from the crowds, for example, when you're at some of these forums with DiNapoli? Is he hearing the pressure?
Well, I think he's hearing the pressure, and I know he goes around, and even when we're not there, people come up to him and talk to him about divestment. And he goes, you know, in the rest of the country, they all think I'm really good. It's only in New York that you people think I'm bad. Well, Tom, in New York, we know what you're doing, and, you know, we know that some of the things that you do, A, is window dressing, and that you're doing it because you're getting pressure, you know, around divestment. So he is certainly feeling the pressure. And a lot of people, once I explain to them why I am running, which is to get the state to divest from fossil fuels, they go, that's a good strategy. That makes sense. People actually like the idea. They can intellectualize why somebody would spend their time running on a campaign, which most realistically you're not going to win.
What's your background? What qualifies you for this position should we all collectively decide that we want to save the planet and you get elected?
I'm the only climate activist running, so if you're concerned about saving the planet, that's an easy thing. But say you're just your normal taxpayer and you're concerned about your taxes. Well, I've been elected official at the town level here in Rensselaer County. I'm probably the only elected official in New York State or ex-elected official who can say that I cut taxes every single year that I was in government because I hate waste and I hate corruption. And one of the things, for instance, I did as a town board member to save money, like I do when I ran a nonprofit for decades, was we just put all the contracts out to bid so you can see what's the lower prices. Well, long story, the Democratic chair of the Rensselaer County Democratic Party went to federal prison for 2 years because he was skimming money out of our town insurance contract when I put it out for bid, all havoc, you know, broke loose. I'm a graduate of RPI, with Bachelor's of Science in Management, top graduate of my class. I have a Juris Doctor law degree from Albany Law School. And in fact, when I was in law school, I knew I was going to be fighting corporations, you know, for my life. So, you know, my life career. So I, you know, focus very heavily on both corporate law and tax law. And because I work for an anti-poverty organization for 28 years, we're always the last group in any distribution of funds out of the state budget that gets anything. So we became the biggest advocates in the world for increase in the revenues. So I've testified for decades about how to change the fiscal practices of the state, particularly how to rein in some of the real abuses that go on with the state authorities. And I've done a lot of work over the last couple decades trying to rein in the abuse of the economic development programs, because as an anti-poverty advocate, I wanted jobs, and I would see tens of million dollars being given by governors to campaign contributors, and jobs were not being created. We were just enriching the CEOs of these companies. And so I've done a lot of reform in trying to rein in what we do in the name of economic development in New York State.
That resume does not sound to me like it's simply a strategy for trying to get the comptroller to change his mind. It sounds like a serious run.
It is. I mean, I certainly feel I'm qualified to get elected, but I said it's probably unlikely. And I also say that on a lot of the reforms, which I've advocated over for 20, 30 years, I used to be on the board of directors and board of economic advisors of the Fiscal Policy Institute. The present comptroller actually tends to agree with a number of our reforms. He doesn't go far enough. The big negative thing we say about Tom DiNapoli, he's the nicest guy in Albany. Okay, now, if you're the state comptroller and you're trying to rein in corruption, being the nicest guy in Albany may not be the best strategy to get things done. He needs to stand up more to the governor, needs to stand up more for the legislature.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. Oh, this is Alice Brock, by the way, the real Alice from Alice's Restaurant. You're listening to me on WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial in Accra. And I just want to tell you that I think community radio is the best thing in the world, and I hope you're loving every minute of it.
WGXC believes in hands-on, two-way radio. We provide public access to the airwaves, giving individuals and organizations the means to tell their own stories. WGXC listeners make radio, participate in on-air conversations, record public meetings for broadcast, contribute content, host their own shows, and more. The G and the C stand for Greene and Columbia Counties in New York. WGXC is listener-supported, and we serve 78,000 potential local listeners in the Upper Hudson Valley, in addition to listeners from across the globe online. Our programs can be surprising while wholesome, are very often experimental, and almost always entertaining. Program applications are accepted year-round, and no prior radio experience is required.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
I was loving that version of Mr. Bojangles. You know, it was instantly recognizable as soon as it came on, and I never heard the singer before, and loved that version. So, yeah, this is just one of many examples of how educational and inspirational WGXC is in just shaking up your day, massaging your mind and your brain and your soul and your spirit. Love this station, and thank you for listening. As you are probably aware, we are doing a pledge drive, and it's kind of a fresh and different approach. This time, we're focusing really on just sustaining supporters. Nowadays, there's, of course, a lot of talk about sustainability with economic models and agricultural models, food systems and everything. And, of course, any business wants to be able to sustain itself, and especially a community-run organization like this. That is for you, for the people, that is listener supported. You know, we run on a low budget. So to do more with less, we can do more if you have a monthly contribution. So if only a one-time donation's all you can do, then great. You know, we'd never turn anything away. Support is wonderful, no matter where it's coming from, no matter from whom or when. But to have that monthly thing to rely on. It's incredible. So we're trying to get 250 new supporters, sustaining supporters. I think we've got about 14 so far. So I did a little calculation. Like if the average new sustaining supporter does $10 a month, it's only 120 a year. That's $30,000 of predictable income. So if you can do that, if you can do 10 a month, you know, whether you have to make a small sacrifice or not with a little coffee or a little soda, whatever, little budget cuts, whatever you can do, 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks a month. Think about that. 10 bucks a month from you and another 235 new sustaining supporters will get us $30,000 a year. And that is so what we need. This station is always fresh and it's always real, and it always reflects really the people, the minds and the personalities of those of us who broadcast to you. And we do it because we enjoy it and we care about what people are consuming in our beloved home areas of Greene County and Columbia County. So the number, 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. It's the pullover pledge drive, so donate safely. Pull that car over or wherever you are. Go to WGXC.org, WGXC.org, and become a sustaining supporter.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
We are in the midst of our pledge drive, the Pullover Pledge Drive. WGXC's Pullover Pledge Drive will be running from October 10th to the 23rd. And during that time, we are looking to welcome 250 monthly sustaining donors to WGXC to grow our community of sustaining supporters. We do that. Man, that is vital to the station's longevity. Now, we know many of you listen in your cars or at work, and that WGXC is a companion to your busy lives. So during this pledge drive, here's what we're asking. We want you to stop for a moment and pull over from whatever it is you are doing right now and donate your support to WGXC by becoming a sustaining supporter. Your gift of $5 or $10 or whatever it is that you can afford per month will go towards keeping community radio live and kicking in Greene and Columbia counties. So I'm counting on listeners to the Solid Gold Soul Sunday show to make that call to 518-697-7400 and pledge your support to hands-on creative community radio here in Greene and Columbia counties. Now to make a monthly recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, visit WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and pledge your support of hands-on creative community radio.
Next, we have these reports.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a mostly sunny afternoon with a temperature of around 50 degrees and a south wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. For Monday night, it will be mostly cloudy with a low around 37 and a south wind at 3 to 6 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Tuesday, a chance of showers mainly after 8 a.m. It will be partly sunny with a high near 52 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 39. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny
with a high near 48 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 30 degrees. The sun rose this morning at 7:16 a.m. and the sun will set at 6:01 p.m. That will give us 10 hours and 45 minutes of daylight, 2 minutes and 43 seconds less than yesterday. So there you have your WGXC Hands-On Radio weather update. Local news reports, public meetings, and other community information. Use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
Here are some more headlines from WOOCLP, WGXC's partner station in Troy.
The week has reported Hurricane Willa strengthened into a Category 4 storm and is expected to make landfall on the Pacific coast of Mexico by Tuesday. Willa now has maximum sustained winds of 130 miles per hour and is about 220 miles south-southeast of Cabo Corrientes. A hurricane watch is now in effect for the shore between Mazatlan and San Blas, and forecasters are warning Willa would produce dangerous storm surges and dump as much as 10 inches of rain in some parts of western Jalisco, western Nayarit, and southern Sinaloa states.
The League of Women Voters of Rensselaer County will hold a district attorney's candidate forum just a week before Election Day. Participating in the forum will be incumbent Republican District Attorney Joel E. Abelov and Democratic challenger Mary Pat Donnelly, a former East Greenbush town justice. Both will appear in the forum at 7 p.m. on October 29th at the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute Chapel and Cultural Center at 2125 Burdett Ave. To learn more, visit the League of Women Voters website.
The committee that grants pay raises to New York's lawmakers, agency heads, and statewide elected officials has scheduled its first public meeting for a week after Election Day.
The U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency will host its 16th National Prescription Drug Takeback Day this Saturday, October 27th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Authorized collectors nationwide will set up shop in public spaces to take your unwanted drugs and properly dispose of them. The Capital Region will host dozens of these collection sites, mostly at police stations, fire stations, health centers, and pharmacies.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 60% chance of showers on Tuesday, mainly between 2 and 3 p.m. Cloudy skies and high near 51, a low around 39. Wednesday, there's only a 20% chance of rain, mainly before 2 p.m., with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 45, a low around 31 Wednesday night. Thursday should be mostly sunny with a high near 39 and a low around 26. I'm Tom Rowe for WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported, creative community radio.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report. Stories about the New York 19 Congressional District from the past week and Representative John Faso and his Democratic counterpart Antonio Delgado and other candidates in the race to be the representative in New York's District 19.
The 538.com website currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.2% of the time, the same as last week. 538.com also currently predicts Faso has a 40.2% chance of winning re-election, rating Democrat Antonio Delgado with a 59.8% chance of winning. Democrat Antonio Delgado announced on Twitter October 20th that former Vice President Joe Biden will be in Kingston for a Get Out the Vote rally with Delgado at 11:30 a.m. Friday, October 26th. And the same day, October 20th, the New York Times endorsed Delgado over Faso in the 19th Congressional District election November 6th. David Lombardo is reporting for the Times Union that the 19th congressional district race between Republican John Faso and Democrat Antonio Delgado is virtually tied, according to a new Siena Research Institute poll. Faso polled at 44% of likely voters to Delgado's 43%. 5% of those surveyed support independent candidate Diane Neal, while 1% expressed a preference for Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield. 7% of voters are still undecided, according to the poll. Quote, barn burner, nail biter, photo finish, pick your phrase and buckle up because this race is going right down to the wire, unquote. Siena pollster Steve Greenberg said it in a statement. Siena College poll was taken October 12th through 16th of 500 likely voters in New York's 19th congressional district, reporting a near tie between Faso and Delgado. Faso was up by 5 points the last time Siena polled the district in late August. Now the polling reveals a district with a split personality. Men favor Faso in the Hudson Valley Congressional District by 19 points, while women prefer Delgado by 17 points. Voters with at least a bachelor's degree are voting for Delgado by 20 points, the poll says, while those with less than a bachelor's degree prefer Faso by 19 points. Siena College pollster Stephen Greenberg says, quote, each has more than 70% support from his own party, and independents are separated by a point, unquote. The split personality continues with support for the national Republican leaders currently running the country. The poll says that 19th congressional district voters would prefer Republicans maintain control of the U.S. House of Representatives by a 48-45% margin, but also by a 3-point margin. Local voters disapprove of the performance of President Donald Trump. Of course, the poll has a margin of error of plus or minus 4.6 percentage points, so many of the results could be much different on Election Day. Two of the four debates between Representative John Faso and Antonio Delgado have taken place already. The first on Friday, October 19th, sponsored by WMHT-TV, featured just Delgado and Faso. Here's an excerpt.
Do you agree with some, as the New York Times has said in an editorial, that these ads are race baiting?
I think the ads are deeply unfortunate, and they speak to a climate right now that is divisive and ugly, and we can do better. I think what we've seen as far as the trends are going in this country is away from cooperation and communicating with each other with decency and respect. I'm happy to note that not only the New York Times, but local publications, Woodstock Radio pulled the ads. 18 clergy members came out and denounced the ads. Dr. Benjamin, a doctor from SUNY New Paltz, a good friend of the congressman, publicly apologized for his involvement and privately called me as well. And the former congressman, Chris Gibson, notes the regrettable tone of the ads. We have to get beyond this if we really want to solve complicated problems, if we really want to deal with the issues that I just talked about in terms of health care and in terms of access to capital and income inequality. We've got to get to a point where we're no longer at each other's throats just spewing misleading facts, but actually get to the substance of what's really going wrong with our country right now. And that is the system of government right now that is not responding to the needs of working people. When you have 80% of folks in this country sharing just 10% of the wealth, that is a problem. When you have two-thirds of folks living paycheck to paycheck, that is a problem. And the answer is not to break the backs of working middle-class folks who with a $1.5 tax break that adds to our deficit and bankrupts our ability to invest in our future. And bankrupts our ability to protect those programs that so many folks in this country need, like Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, income security programs. We are slashing programs and leaving folks behind.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Faso, you have 45 seconds.
Well, I would just simply point out that those are not my ads. Those ads are provocative, no doubt. Those ads, however, are provocative, and Mr. Delgado's words are provocative in terms of what he said about women, about law enforcement, about our founding fathers. But the fact of the matter is, I have to tell you, I do regret the notion that somehow these ads were mine, because they're not. And I'll tell you this. I reject the support of anyone who would vote for me because of Mr. Delgado's race. I reject racism in all its forms. And the fact of the matter is, I think we can do better in our country. And that's why I have set a tone for bipartisanship in my tenure in Congress. You don't rank 18th out of 435 working with the other side without being bipartisan, and that's my record.
The second debate was on Monday, October 22nd, between all four candidates, Diane Neal, Green Party's Steve Greenfield, Republican Faso, and Democrat Delgado. Here is an excerpt of that debate, sponsored by WAMC Radio.
Mr. Congressman John Faso, on the heels of the GOP-led tax overhaul, which you voted against, the federal deficit is up 17% to $779 billion. That's according to the U.S. Treasury Department. The debt also is growing. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell blames the cost of Social Security and Medicare and says cuts may be in line. In your view, what should the future of Social Security and Medicare be?
Well, it's very clear that we need to make sure that Social Security and Medicare are there for our seniors today, but also tomorrow. And that's why I've supported what Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan did back in the early 80s, which was to create the Greenspan Commission, where they had wise people on both sides of the aisle, actuarial experts, who said, how do we achieve the security of Social Security for the next 50 years? That 50-year period ends in 2034. A mere 16 years from now. And so I've proposed bipartisan legislation that I'm a co-sponsor of that would address this issue in the very same way that Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, along with Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, a great New Yorker and a Democrat, supported back then. So it is really critical that we reassure seniors that they will be protected, but also make sure that people who are under 40 know that they will get something from the monies that they're paying into the system. So this is a critical issue for our country. There's no doubt the debt and deficit are troublesome. The debt doubled under the Obama administration, and it is rising now again. And this had been projected a number of years ago. So what the best solution to this is a growing, vibrant economy. That's why 4% economic growth is critical, not the 1% or 1.5% that the Obama administration said was the new normal. Higher growth means better ability to constrain deficits and pay our bills.
Thank you, Congressman. The question now to Steve Greenfield.
You know, this is really one of the most aggravating questions that comes up in the discussion of public administration. I cannot believe that we're even talking about where we could get the money to stabilize the lives of millions of people who are living on under $23,000 a year when we have a $1.5 trillion annual military budget. You know, we would not have questions about what our tax structure and what our debt looks like if we were controlling the places where we spend it, where we don't need to be spending it, and where it causes harm to spend it. But more importantly, in terms of this specific question, most people don't know this. I wish I knew why, but another reason why you might want someone with economics training in Congress in just one seat of the 435, which is that the majority of the United States federal debt right now, the Treasury notes that are the form that takes, is the majority of it is held by the Social Security system in a completely secure manner. The Social Security system is not under threat. That's where American debt is being held. It's not in China. It's not in Saudi Arabia, like the fearmongers would tell you. It's right here in the United States in our pension systems. And so those systems are safe. And what's happening right now is people are raising fear about Social Security that's not legitimately there because they don't want you looking at the places in the federal budget where trillions of your dollars are being wasted every year. I don't want anybody taking any money away and health care away from people who are living on $23,000 a year. Let's look at the people that are really wasting our funds.
Thank you. Diane Neal, same question.
Yeah, Steve's right about this one. People are always inciting fear, and there are tons of ways in our government that we can reduce spending to actually make sure that anything that we're having a problem with Social Security, but also we have to stop making people afraid. I mean, one of the reasons people that are over a certain age tend to vote the most, right? So if you're scaring them and freaking them out about the thing they're going to lose that's keeping them alive, then of course they're going to turn out and vote for you. But it's sometimes so incredibly disingenuous. But there is a lot of waste in bureaucracies. There's a lot of places things can be streamlined. You know, most of these government departments, they exist. And once they exist, it's in their best interest to keep getting larger and larger and larger and take a bigger share of the budget, whether it's actually efficient, whether it's working for us or not. So a lot of that stuff can go. And also there needs to be a level of financial literacy. Like most people, they don't have the opportunity to invest for themselves. They don't know how to do it. They don't know anything about it. It's a very small amount of the American population that can even put in their own 401ks and stuff to supplement what they've got going on with Social Security. And considering most of my family, my parents are on Social Security and they also have, you know, Medicare, it's an incredibly important thing to keep going. It is wildly important, but making it efficient, making it streamlined, cutting out the fat, getting rid of the things that don't help anyone, that are just there to help, you know, again, the corporations or the people selling them, the drugs, all the other stuff, that can just go. And that's the best way that you can do it. But again, it's not as under threat as everyone thinks it is. And scaring people just so they turn out to vote is not helpful.
Thank you. Antonio Delgado, same question.
Yes, it's a very important question. The congressman's on record saying that the only issue he has with the tax bill, the only issue he has with the tax bill is the cap on the SALT deduction. That is a problem, the tax bill, no doubt. But another big problem, as you ask in your question, is the $1.5 trillion that was added to our deficit, particularly because that $1.5 trillion was added on the backs of working and middle-class Americans, and particularly because by 2026, over 80% of this tax bill will go to the benefit of the top 1%. So I have a lot of problems with the tax bill, not just the cap, particularly when that same bill is now being used by Congressman Fazio and his Republican allies in Congress to cut the programs you're talking about. We're talking $500 billion he just voted for to cut from Medicaid and, in essence, turn it into a voucher program. That's a vote, to cut Medicare. Clear as day, you have to own that. They also cut over $4 billion in Social Security disability insurance. And we know where the congressman is on this issue. He's already made it clear that for him, privatizing Social Security will be a boom for Wall Street. He said this years ago, so we know what the end game here is. Now, Social Security is one of the most successful social insurance programs in the country. People have paid interest. It is an earned benefit, and it ought to be protected appropriately so, and not privatized, and not used to gut to pay for a giveaway to folks who don't need or big corporations.
I'll remind our listeners that we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And more importantly, Ellen and I, excuse me from sucking on my lozenge, but Ellen and I have both upped our sustaining support of the station. And that sustaining support of the station, sorry, I got the lozenge sometimes sticks to my stuff here.
This is too much. I'm not sure I'm going to get through this show, folks.
The lozenges. These lozenges are like really something. Excuse me. A sustaining supporter is someone who designates a certain amount every month to come out against their credit card. You're notified every month. You can change the amount up or down, preferably up. And it makes it easier, although it's still a pain in the butt to get this station, funded. It makes it easier to plan. So if you haven't been, if you've given regularly to our pledge drives, there's no reason you shouldn't be a sustaining supporter because it's easier to deal with. You don't have to, this way, when we do have pledge drives, you can say, well, I'm doing my share. And you go to I'm screwing it up again. every time I move my lozenge to the front.
Why don't you tell me what you'd like to say? And I'll say
no, I figured out. I'm watching you. The technique is to put the lozenge on the side in your cheek. I'm doing that now. Put the lozenge in my cheek. And go to wgxc.org/donate, and it tells you the whole Magilla. You can figure out, what level you want to sustain us at.
We are, however, still accepting single gifts.
We take single gifts. And you want to bring in a gift? Bring it on in. And if you if you bring it in, excuse me, if you bring it in, you could be on the radio if you want. You could come join this fun fest.
I was going to say, if you're stuck at home, I would sit back from the radio because
why?
The germs are so
powerful that going over the airwaves.
They might go over the airwaves.
Yeah, it sounds plausible. Not.
Well, anything seems to be plausible.
It occurs to me that we should probably spray these mics after we leave.
Good idea.
Kind of gross.
I'm riding in your car. You turn on the radio.
Stop and get out of your car if you can, starting Wednesday, October 10th with the WGXC Pullover Pledge Drive. If you spend the morning on the road listening to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Live at 8 a.m., or if your afternoon involves spending time with hosts on 90.7 FM, consider making a pledge during the Pullover Pledge Drive. Your collection of community voices is different than public radio. We're not interested in reporting on the president's whereabouts every 5 minutes. Instead, WGXC provides the community a chance to have their say about local issues like the Greene County Jail, water problems in Nassau and Hoosick Falls, the 19th congressional election, and more. You can hear more coverage of those issues on the air on 90.7 FM than anywhere else in the local media landscape. So consider making a sustainable pledge to WGXC, a recurring donation to keep WGXC available on your car radio at 90.7 FM.
Nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.